Hi, I'm Brad Linscott, and thanks for joining us as we continue our series on how we at Microsoft Support troubleshoot and diagnose issues from .NET applications in a production environment. In the last segment, we talked about how a little bit about the virtual address space and virtual memory. We got a foundation of knowledge to help us understand a little bit more about what we're dealing with when we start troubleshooting issues that deal with memory pressure in .NET applications. We're going to take that knowledge and apply it into this segment where we take a look at a dump of a process that was actually experiencing memory pressure. Before I continue, I want to make sure that everybody understands it's important to assess exactly where the memory pressure is coming from. I have a lot of customers that say with their .NET applications, well, it's a .NET application, and so I know the memory pressure is coming from .NET. And it's logical to assume that, but it's not necessarily true. Whenever we're troubleshooting these issues, we want to make sure that we have the facts on our side so that we employ the right tools, the right troubleshooting path to get accurate assessments of what the problem actually is. So without further ado, I'll go ahead and I'll jump into taking a look at a dump of a process that was taken under memory pressure. Okay. So here's our dump. I can see here that it was taken from a 2003 machine, SP2, four processors, 32-bit. And it was taken with, one other thing I want to point out here, it was taken with debug diag. I don't yet know at this point, I'm not 100% sure if it was just a dump that was taken manually, what we would call a hang dump, where you go to the processes tab of debug diag, or if it was taken on a crash rule. In this particular case, let's say that whoever handed me this dump told me, well, I know that the process was experiencing memory pressure because Perfmon or the right column in Task Manager was telling me that private bytes was over 800 meg. I got an actual out-of-memory exception in the event log, so I went over and I took a dump of the process. Well, as we talked about in the previous segment, one of the things I like to do first off the bat when I'm looking at a high memory pressure situation is that I run bang address dash summary. Need to do the dash there. All right, so this is the output that you'll get. This command goes through the entire virtual address space and then provides output in several different kinds of buckets. You've got your type summary, you've got your state summary, you've got your protect summary, so forth and so on. Now, the one area that I always pay attention to is this usage summary up here at the top. Okay, I want to figure out who is actually using my memory. And for that, I want to take a look at the size column over here. This part of the output is sorted in decreasing amount of size, and I see right off the bat that the area that is taking up the most memory is what's classified here as unknown. What is unknown? Well, unknown is not free, not image, not heap, native heaps, not stack. Now that you have that sarcastic answer for you, what's the real answer? Well, most of the time the memory that's in this unknown bucket is comprised of direct calls to virtual alloc. There are other contributors as well. I've seen memory map files go in there and some other components, but for the most part, a lot of times, the majority of this unknown is comprised of direct calls to virtual alloc, and .NET falls into this bucket. Java will also do it this way. So whenever I see unknown in here of a .NET application, and he's at the top here, this usage summary, such in this case, almost 1.1 gig of the virtual address space is being used by our unknown bucket. I start thinking .NET. I haven't proved that yet, but I'll see if I can do that here pretty soon. I do see here that I've got a total of 500 meg that's free. And we talked about this in the last episode about how in the world can I get an out-of-memory exception. In this particular case, we did have an out-of-memory exception in the event log. How can that be when I got 500 meg of free? Well, the reason is because that 500 meg is not contiguous. Whenever you need to reserve memory in Windows, you're taking a look at a contiguous memory. So if we want to take a look at our largest region by usage size, what is our largest free? 43 meg. So even though we have over 500 meg free, our largest contiguous free is only 43 meg. So, let me do that in a different color here so that we don't get any confusion. So if we had an out-of-memory exception thrown in the event log, chances are that .NET tried to allocate another segment, and that segment was larger than 43 meg, and that's why we got our out-of-memory exception. We see that images up here are taking 250 meg, which is a little bit more than what I would expect to see with most ASP.NET applications. So we know from reading Thomas Marquardt's paper that I've referred to a lot in this series, that for ASP.NET on 32-bit, our chances of getting an out-of-memory exception greatly increase once private bytes get to 800 meg. And if your images here are taking up 250 meg, wow, you've really eaten into that 800 meg private bytes, because images are going to be in commit. Native heaps are only taking up a total of 160 meg here, so I'm not going to take a look in the native heaps as to where my memory pressure is coming from. I'm going to focus in this unknown area up here at a 1 gig, almost 1.1 gig. So I'm going to go ahead and make sure that I've got PSS Core 2 loaded, run EE version to see if this is in fact version 2 of the framework. It is. I've got 4 heaps here. This is an ASP.NET application. I got an IS6 app pool here. That's what our dump is of. And we do have version 2 of the framework with 4 GC heaps. Okay, so I'm going to run bang CLR usage. This is one of the commands from PSS Core 2. And I'm going to use the dash V for verbose argument here and see what it outputs. When you see this, if you're familiar with bang eeheap-gc, you're going to see that it looks very similar to bang eeheap-gc. And what I tend to look at with the output of bang CLR usage is this part down here at the bottom. Down here. So I see my total commit size. We see the total size of all the GC heaps is 641 million bytes. My total commit size is 627 meg. My total reserved but not committed size is 268 meg. When you add those two together, you'll get about 896 meg. This reserved memory limit size, reserved memory size, this is how much memory .NET or the CLR is responsible for reserving when the dump was taken, at the time the dump was taken. So I've got a total of 900 meg that the CLR is responsible for. And I go up here and I compare this to bang address, where I've got a gig in this unknown, and I know that .NET is one of the components that goes into this unknown bucket. 900 meg is definitely the majority of 1.1 gig. So therefore, I can be reasonably sure at this point that .NET, the memory pressure is coming from .NET, as opposed to Java or somebody else making virtual outlet calls. The reserved memory limit size at any given time, this is the most memory the CLR was responsible for. This includes segments that are right now and only in a reserved size. So we see here with bang CLR usage dash V, we do get listed here some segments that are in total reserve size. This is due to a feature called VM hoarding. I won't go into that, but you can certainly search on VM hoarding. This is a feature that ASP.NET has enabled by default, which means whenever the CLR reserves a segment, if at some point all the objects that are located in that segment are GC'd and there's no more committed memory in that segment is in a completely reserved state. It does not get freed. There's no heap free called on that back to the rest of the virtual address space. It stays in a reserved state. And the testing that was done behind this showed that whenever .NET and the CLR allocated a segment, even if it went into a complete reserved state, chances are more likely than not that we're going to go back and we're going to need that segment again to make future allocation requests. And if we don't already have that segment reserved, we might get an out-of-memory exception at that time, because we may not have enough contiguous free space to allocate that segment, so we just keep that segment there. All right, so I mentioned, the key components that I like to get out of bang CLR usage are how much memory is currently committed by the CLR, how much memory is reserved but not committed, and that adds up to our reserved memory size, which is down here. So 900 meg out of what bang address dash summary showed almost 1.1 gig was in that unknown bucket, which is where .NET is. So I know at this point, 900 out of 1.1, that's definitely where most of the memory pressure is coming from. So I can proceed to take a look further into .NET and see where this memory pressure might be coming from. I'm going to run at this point bang ee heap dash gc. You're going to look at this and say, wow, this looks really familiar with, really similar to what bangcLR usage output. And it is. The difference is that I don't have the summary down below about reserved and committed size. So up here, bang ee heap dash gc is my command. And we have four gc heaps. We saw that when I ran bang ee version. And you're going to have one managed heap when you're using server gc, which ASP.NET requests by default, and you're going to get it on a multi-product box. You've got one managed heap per logical core. So we've got four logical cores in this case, and four gc heaps. If I take a look at the ephemeral segments, this is where objects, for the most part, generations 0, 1, and 2 will go in right here. I can see that I've got two segments for my ephemeral, two ephemeral segments here in heap 0. The size of these segments, these are all committed. So I've got almost no memory over here reserved for these, reserved and not committed. It's almost all in the committed state. This number right here, these numbers here are going to come out to about 64 meg. So if I take a look at the ephemeral segments for the other heaps, it's going to be just like here in heap 1. I don't see any segments that are exceeding the 64 meg mark. In this case, I can be reasonably sure that my segment sizes for these ephemeral heaps are going to be 64 meg for each one of these heaps. What about for the, sorry about that, what about for the large object heaps? Large object heaps here are not exceeding what looks to be 32 meg, which would be half of what our ephemeral segments are. Now, the exact sizes of these segments, this is an implementation detail in .NET, is subject to change in the future, so I don't want to get bogged down to that. But the reason I'm pointing out the sizes is because this is, I want to note the size when I try to figure out why, the technical reason why I got an out-of-memory exception. So that's why I'm noting the sizes of these. In this particular heap, I see that the large object heap had to expand not just once, get two large object heap segments, but also three times. In other heaps, such as heap 1, I only have one large object heap segment. So, don't know exactly why. I don't really need to know why. Just an observation. If you're wondering why certain heaps have more segments, well, it's because the CLR garbage collector decided that in this particular case, this heap needed three, whereas this one just needed one. It may have been how memory was getting allocated, maybe in a loop by the application, if it was all at one time. Not sure, but it's not going to interfere with our attempt to figure out where this memory pressure is coming from in this process. Okay, so I've got I've established here, and if you'll notice also one other thing I want to point out to you, bang ee heap dash gc, at the bottom here it will give you a total gc heap size of 641 million bytes. That's going to be, it should match up with what bangcLR usage showed us up here. And 641 million bytes, there we go. Okay. Those two commands should always be, that output of those two commands should always be in sync. So it's just something I like to double check to make sure. Okay, so we've got a lot of memory pressure in this process. It seems to all be coming from .NET. Let's see if we can find out a little bit more in detail of where this memory is coming from. We've established that we've got 64 meg segments here for the ephemeral heaps. What appears to be no bigger than 32 meg segments here in our large object heaps. What else can we determine in the dump? So let's go ahead and take a look. I know, and I've taken a look at this dump before, obviously, so I know, and I said that there was an out-of-memory exception that was thrown into the event log. I happen to know that in this particular case, we have our out-of-memory exceptions are on thread 41. You won't always find the out-of-memory exceptions. It depends on when the dump was taken relative to when the exception was thrown. So I'll do a bang DSO to look at the managed objects on the stack, and I see my out-of-memory exception. I got one object. You can see the address is the same for all these. It's referenced three different times on this particular stack. So I can take this object. Sometimes you might get lucky if you run a bang PE for print exception and get somewhat of a stack of what caused the exception. In this particular case, I don't get much help here. That's really not much help. I also wanted to point out, just because you get a call stack of an out-of-memory exception, for your particular process that has memory pressure. That doesn't mean, let's say that you get a call stack and you see that, oh, when we got our out-of-memory exception, we were trying to allocate a string of whatever size. Don't take that to mean that it's that one allocation request that caused us to get out of memory. Technically it is, but the damage more than likely was done before that particular allocation was made. So that's what makes it a challenge in finding root cause of these memory pressure issues. It's not necessarily what was done at that exact moment in time, although there are times where you can get a dump on when the exception was thrown, and you can find out, get a call stack of when the exception was thrown and find out, oh, this is actually the root cause of our memory pressure. This one particular allocation was really, really large, or whatever the situation may be. But a lot of times, when you find that call stack that shows you when the exception was thrown, that's just what kind of puts you over the edge to get the out-of-memory exception. It was the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. So in that particular case, in those cases, the really tricky part is to figure out, well, okay, if that's the out-of-memory exception was caused because I made a 25K allocation request and that caused me to have to create a new segment in one of the managed heaps, that wasn't the real, you know, if I stopped that particular allocation request, I still would have gotten an out-of-memory exception sooner or later. What I need to do is go back and see if I can figure out in these heaps where all the memory pressure is coming from leading up to this exception. So just keep that in mind when you're doing your debugging. I'll run another command here. Let's do a bang DAE for dump all exceptions. And we'll see if we can figure out what other exceptions might be thrown in this particular process. Sometimes you get other help when you take a look at all the other exceptions in your effort to find root cause or narrow down where the memory pressure is coming from. Sometimes you don't. I tend to run this command out of habit because I want to see what else is going on, what are the noise or potential bad patterns may be happening in a particular application. All right, well, I see here that I've got a total of 3 out-of-memory exceptions. Okay, so this is definitely not a situation to where it happened just once. Also want to note one thing. Let me see if I can... I'm going to go ahead and end the show here since there's nothing much else to take a look at. Let's take a look at... what happens whenever you get a brand new process that starts up. When I see this out-of-memory exception that's down here at the bottom, it just reminded me to bring up this one point. What happens when you start up a .NET application, and what kind of exceptions are you going to see? Well, this is a 64-bit process, so let me go ahead and run a 64-bit debugger. And attach to it. And I'm going to run into a dot load on PSS core. Should be able to get the same thing with SOS. Nope. So we'll do a dot load on PSS core 4. Make sure he loads OK. And do a bang DAE. This is a brand new process. I haven't done anything, no allocations with it or anything like that. Lo and behold, I see my system.out-of-memory exception right here. What is going on? There are a couple of exceptions that the CLR will create on startup. Out-of-memory exception is one of them. Why does it do this? The reason it does that is because if, in fact, you do run into a situation where you get out-of-memory, it might be too late at that point to create an out-of-memory exception. You might get an out-of-memory trying to create an out-of-memory exception. So one is generated up front for you, and then the fields of that particular exception object are populated whenever an actual out-of-memory situation is achieved. And so just because you see an out-of-memory exception object in your dump doesn't mean you got an actual out-of-memory. How do we find this out? Well, if you take the object and you dump them out, and you see all the values, all these fields are all zero, that's a good telltale sign that this exception object is one that was created just on startup. It's not an example of a real out-of-memory exception. Okay, so we've got our out-of-memory exception. We don't have a good stack of it. So how can we figure out what caused the problem here? There are several different avenues that we can take at this point to figure out more information about it. But before I do that, I always like to see if I can figure out the technical reason why we got an out-of-memory exception. Let's take a look at what we know. And I'm not talking about, oh, I tried to create a 2-meg string or something like that. Why did we actually not have enough memory to satisfy some kind of allocation request? This goes back to some of the numbers that we've already output up here for you. Let's take a look at first. We got a situation, I didn't go up enough. I've got .NET 2.0 loaded onto a 32-bit four-way machine. Using those numbers and taking a look at some of the output of bang e heap-gc, my segment sizes for the ephemeral heaps doesn't look are going to be any larger than 64 meg, and for the large object heaps, doesn't look like they're going to be any bigger than 32 meg. Okay, so with that information coupled with bang address-summary that shows me my largest contiguous free, let me go down over here. My largest contiguous free at this point was 43 meg. Well, if I had to allocate another large object heap segment, chances are I would survive there, but I would not get an out-of-memory exception because we didn't find in the output below any large object heap segment larger than 32 meg. We found one that looks to be completely full at that 32 meg mark. So chances are that we did not get an out-of-memory exception trying to allocate another large object heap segment. But we did note that all of our ephemeral segments topped out at 64 meg. So it could very well have been that we got our out-of-memory exception whenever we tried to allocate another ephemeral segment for the small object heaps generations 0 through 2. So that looks to be, especially given the fact that we had a system.out-of-memory exception thrown into the event log, that's obviously coming from .NET. That tells me that it looks like when .NET throws in system.out-of-memory, it was not able to allocate another segment to satisfy whatever allocation request comes in. Does not necessarily mean that .NET is at fault for all the memory pressure, because I have seen cases to where I got a process that's experiencing a lot of memory pressure. I take a look in the dump, I take a look at bang address-summary that we just did here, and I see that the managed heaps, when I take a look at combine bang CLR usage-v or eeheap-c, even before sometimes I have to look at bang address-summary, I can see that the managed heaps are only taking up 96 meg or some small amount. Yet the unknown bucket in bang address-summary may be comprised, may be taking up another gig or a gig and a half or what have you. Or it may be the native heaps that have all the memory pressure in them. So just because .NET throws an out-of-memory exception in your event logs doesn't mean that the memory pressure is all coming from .NET. It simply means that .NET was the one that when it tried to make an allocation request couldn't do it, and so therefore it threw an out-of-memory exception. So we've taken what we learned in part 10 of this series about virtual address and virtual memory, and we applied it here in this segment by taking a look at a dump of a process that had an out-of-memory exception. We haven't found root cause yet, but we have been able to prove that the memory pressure ultimately does come from .NET. We found our out-of-memory exception. We don't have a stack for it yet. I can take a look at the call stack, and we can certainly see if there's anything on it that will help us. So let's take a look at the native call stack. And there's nothing helpful here. We do see a message box, which is quite unusual, especially for a process like W3WP that does not interact with a desktop. But I won't get into that right now. We do see where we're throwing our out-of-memory exception right here. Okay, I could, but I'm not getting anything helpful in terms of what allocation request caused it. If I take a look at bang CLR stack, we see that there's no managed thread associated with this particular native thread. We do have some managed objects still on it, but no remainder of managed thread on here. So what we've accomplished so far, we've gotten actually a lot. We know that the memory pressure is coming from .NET. We do have our out-of-memory exception. We don't have exact root cause. And I could spend some more time delving in here looking at things like bang dump heap dash stat at this dump. It may take quite a while, though, without having something helpful on the call stack. And we don't have, and I don't want to bore everybody with a long time of going through an example like this. I just want to take this segment to show how you can narrow down and get definitive proof that it is .memory pressure is coming from .NET, and how you know it's coming from .NET. In the very next segment, What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a look at another sample where we actually delve further down and we find exact root cause of why, not just that .NET is at is applying the memory pressure, but what specifically in our code caused the problem to get us an out-of-memory exception.